Chapter 7, Wednesday, May 29th, 1776. I hired a girl to clean the house. It had a cartload of dirt in it. One of the chambers was used to keep poultry in, and other sea coal, and another salt. You may conceive how it looked. The house is so exceeding damp being shut up that the floors are mildewed, the ceiling falling down, and the paper moldy and falling from the walls. Letter from Abigail Adams to her husband, John. It was near a mile from the tea water pump back down the island to the Lockton house. A long journey, carrying heavy buckets that stretched my arms into sore ribbons. I forgot the pain when Corzine stopped, pointed, and said, "There 'tis." The house was made of blocks of cream-colored stone and was wider from side to side than Jenny's tavern. I tilted my head up and counted. 4 floors, each with big windows facing the street. There were balcony railings on the roof. There were even windows peeking out at foot level. Cellar windows, which meant 5 stories in one house. A curtain moved. "Make haste," Corzine said. "If you value your life, don't use the front door." The sun caught the ring in his ear and blazed as he tipped his hat to me. I hurried through the side gate. The mansion was twice as long as it was wide. A large plot stretched behind it with a cistern, a privy, a poor excuse for a garden, and at the far end, a carriage house and small stable. "You there!" I turned around. A tiny woman wearing a green calico skirt, a nut-brown bodice, and a dingy shift stood in the open door to the kitchen. She tossed a pan of dirty water onto the flagstones and pushed a strand of graying hair out of her eyes with the back of her hand.
"What's your business here?"
she demanded.
"I'm Isabel. I'm the...
Master Lockton brought us from Newport."
The anger drained out of her face.
"You're the new girl, gone for the water. Lord help us, did you get lost?"
"I don't think so, Corzine."
"Funny little boy, ring in his ear?"
She shook her head.
"That's Bellingham's boy. You stay away from him. Bring in that water, we've got a world of work to do."
Her name was Becky Berry.
"Though it'll be mud if I don't pull this house together in a flash," she said as she poured the fresh water into a pot and swung it over the kitchen fire.
She barely stopped talking long enough to draw a breath.
8 months. They vanished to Boston for 8 months and then show up with no warning and wanting tea. Tea. I could get tarred and feathered for brewing tea," she muttered.
She turned around. Her face marked her as being of middle years, dotted with freckles and pock scars. Her chin was narrow and pointed like a shovel, and her smile was missing several teeth.
"The rules here is simple. Do what Madam says. You know where the tea water pump is. You'll go up there every day. You'll go with me to market when I need you to. Don't go north of Chambers Street or wandering off past Mulberry, lest Madam write you a pass. You don't want folks thinking you're trying to run. That don't work here. You been a housemaid before?"
I shook my head. "We lived on a farm."
"Pardon me, ma'am, Miss Becky, but can you tell me where my sister is?"
"Your what?"
Her eyebrows went up.
"Ooh, that little girl?"
I nodded.
"Ruth.
She's slow, ain't she?"
I didn't dare explain till I figured what kind of person Becky was.
"She's good-natured."
Becky walked into a pantry crowded with shelves of crockery.
"Not gonna cause me trouble."
"Never," I lied. "Where is she, please, ma'am?"
Becky came out carrying a tarnished silver teapot and a stack of china cups and plates.
"Madam Lockton told me to give the little one a bath and feed her."
She went back to the pantry and shouted a little so I could hear her.
"She's in the privy. Your sister, I mean, not the madam."
I let out a long breath and stepped toward the door. Becky came back carrying a small chest.
"Where do you think you're going?"
"To fetch Ruth."
"Oh, no, you're not," Becky said. "Madam wants her outside peeling potatoes. You're to work in here."
"But..."
Through the window, I watched Ruth leave the privy and walk straight to a bench. She hopped up on it, pulled a potato from the sack next to her, and started peeling with a small knife, her feet kicking in the air under the bench. She looked like a little bird on a twig. I relaxed some. She was safe and happy enough. Becky brushed at the cobwebs clinging to her skirt.
"But nothing. If Madam sees you idling and jawing out there, there'll be the devil to pay." She paused. "She can be a harsh mistress to slaves."
I waited for her to say more.
but she shook her head once and handed me a broom.
Me, I see things different.
She picked up a pile of rags in a jar.
You do what you're told and we'll get along fine. Now follow me and pay attention.